Well, I'm joined this morning by Dr. Carol Grant. Welcome back, Dr. Grant.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Grant's the director of the Margaret L. Williams Developmental Evaluation Center, and she was here not long ago. We were talking about a wonderful autism program she was putting together, and we got talking off mic about a wonderful puppet program you're doing in the schools. Tell us more about it.
Well, right now we're offering a KidSpeak interactive puppet workshop regarding autism and Asperger's to elementary schools. We have a team of three puppeteers who are also clinicians, a speech pathologist, a psychologist, and a special educator, who have been trained as puppeteers to go into schools and offer a puppet workshop. And the workshop is designed to help children and their teachers understand learning style differences, focusing specifically on children with autism and Asperger's.
I just think this is wonderful. And, some listeners know that I used to be an elementary school teacher. And so when I hear about something like this, I just want to jump all over it. I think it's wonderful. Let's step back for a minute. Mm-hmm. This is really based on the idea that everybody's different. Everybody has unique qualities and everybody learns differently. Children with autism are in classrooms.
Absolutely.
With what we might call normal kids, typical kids.
Right.
And not everybody knows how to work the best with them. And many of the children don't know how to interact with them. So I have to think that your workshop, your puppets coming into the classroom, are a fabulous way to point out what the differences might be and what the positives might be.
And the similarities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk to us about what happens. You go into the classroom, you've got three of you, and you're clinicians. I love that.
Yeah.
Which means you know the answers to the questions.
Right. Right. That was a very strong belief on our part, that we just could not train puppeteers to go in and do this, because what our goal was to help kids and teachers really get a deeper understanding of individual differences, acceptances of differences, and then ways in which to make accommodations for everybody. And
that's kind of
the core of the message. However, we do focus on children with autism and Asperger's. And this, you know, all started because after doing an evaluation on a young boy, I was asked by the parents to go into the school because the mom was distressed about the stories she was hearing back about how the teachers were calling him bad, and he was being aggressive, and it just didn't seem to be working well with the child, even though the teachers thought they were, and they were doing the best, and they were using what they thought were best clinical skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a visit, and I could see that just his day, while people were very kind and wanting to support the child, just wasn't appropriate for him, and he was not being successful. He didn't have any communication system, et cetera.
And, you know, there's a huge ripple effect. Having
Absolutely.
Been in the classroom myself, I can tell
yeah.
you, when you have a child who's disruptive, for whatever reason that child is disruptive, that has a ripple effect across the entire classroom.
Absolutely.
So I have to think that you going in with these puppets. Now, what is one of the puppets, is that a child with autism?
Yeah.
Tell us who the puppets are.
Well, we have Carrie and Sally and their teachers.
Ah.
I am actually the teacher,
uh-huh.
and my two students are Carrie. Carrie has Asperger's, and Sally has autism.
And Asperger's being the very high-functioning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Carrie has some tremendous language skills, and he loves numbers and is a whiz at computers. However, he can be a bit annoying because he's the rule minder. He reminds me, the teacher, when I'm a little bit off task, which I do purposely on occasion to show how that happens.
Uh-huh.
And then Sally is very presents as a very autistic child with using flapping her hands and using communication boards to indicate what she wants. And through these two puppets, we say, and I say that these two students have come here to help us talk about how children with autism learn. And we talk about how they learn, and then we talk about how we all learn differently, however, Sally and Carrie have some unique features that make it more important for information to be presented in a more structured, consistent way so they can get it.
And it's not that they are better or worse. It's
nope.
that they are different.
Just different.
Interesting.
Yep.
When you're presenting this, do you find that the kids who are listening, do they interact pretty well? Do they ask you questions or do they engage with the puppets?
Well, the presentation is, you know, we pretty much present it for about 20 minutes and then we open up to answers and questions.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, our goal has been that they can emotionally relate to the two puppets.
Uh-huh.
They often want to know what is Carrie's favorite food.
Oh.
And what is Sally's, you know, colors,
uh-huh.
you know, what is her color? Because we talk about how we all have different preferences for, you know, for foods
sure.
and colors and so forth.
Sure.
So, yes, we do feel successful. There have been children with autism and Asperger's in the group. And they, in at times, they have been able to say, "I have Asperger's."
Wow.
And you know, I don't. My hope is that by presenting the workshop, the classroom is now open to the conversation. The teacher
sure.
has had an opportunity where those words are out there that have been presented, and that the teacher can follow up with some conversation about it, what it means to be different.
Sort of takes the elephant out
Absolutely.
Of the room, doesn't it? Interesting.
Yep. And
how is this paid for?
Oh, this is a wonderful question. Kohl's, the department stores?
Yeah.
They, if you go into a Kohl's store and as you check out, there'll be these items, $5 items at the checkout counters, and they'll say that proceeds from these purchased items will go towards your local children's hospital. Well, Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital is the recipient of this area's funds from Kohl's.
Wow.
So Kohl's, I wrote the grant to Kohl's through the Children's Miracle Network, and they have funded the development of KidSpeak as well as the, support the conferences and so forth, and the ongoing production of KidSpeak. So
I
it's
just
fabulous.
Think that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, let's talk about some details. We've only got a few seconds left. You speak to any groups, kindergarten through third grade?
Yep.
All right. How do people get in touch with you?
Call the office, 472-4404, and there will be somebody there who can orchestrate a time.
And a teacher could make that request?
Absolutely.
Or a parent could make that? Or the PTA?
Absolutely. You know, obviously parents would need to work through the,
sure.
their schools.
Sure. But they can certainly call
absolutely.
And get more information from you.
Yep.
That's wonderful. KidSpeak, what a delightful, it's a great name and it's a great program. And Dr. Carol Grant, I thank you so much for coming by this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Trying something new and different, or running through the airport. Well, dear listeners, I run. In fact, I'm training for another marathon. In fact, my lifetime running goal, totally ridiculous, but totally inspiring to me, is to beat Lance Armstrong's debut New York City marathon time, 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 26 seconds. Not world class like he is on the bike, but whoo, fast. If I squeeze every ounce of preparation out of myself, it might just be possible. So I hate to miss a day's workout. Anyway, a week ago, coming back from a conference in California, I had an up at 6:30, two layover, home at almost midnight travel day. How to squeeze my daily run in? No prob. Running shorts and shirt under my street clothes, leave the street stuff with my wife, and run in the terminal during layovers. Now, I've done this before. Yeah, folks stare and even tape me on their camera phones. And the police stop me and ask me where my bags and clothes were. Yeah, and if you do something unusual, people try to put you back in the box. But to me, the real question is, why don't more of us do this? All that layover time. And people do run in the airport all the time for shorter bursts to catch their flight, but in their street clothes. So what's the big? Well, while I was tootling around, I realized this is a great illustration of what us psychologists call a context effect, the unwritten rules and environmental cues that shape and limit the possibilities of how we think and behave. So airport terminals have rows of chairs saying sit and restaurants saying eat. So even though they are big indoor air-conditioned places where one could jog in any weather and even bathrooms for a spritz-off before boarding, we don't even think about it. But if you are not a frequent traveler, frequent runner like me, why is this important? Because being aware of context effects makes for new possibilities. So, for example, if we're trying to do less cholesterol and go out to eat and just see cream sauce this and au gratin that on the menu, we think, this menu is just a paper possibility limiter. I'll ask the chef for flounder in wine sauce. Or, if you want to exercise more too, but the norm in your family is plop on the couch for TV every night, you could go wild and wonderful and buy a treadmill and walk while you watch. And when you run into a rule enforcer like the airport guy who yelled at me, "The track's outside, buddy!" Just remember, there are also folks like the guy who yelled, "What a great idea! How long you going, guy?" Not long. 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 25 seconds, to be exact. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Gotta run. Thanks for listening.